Father, we want to thank you for your goodness and your mercy tonight. Want to thank you for your presence. Want to thank you for the Word of God. Father, we want to thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for that spirit of revelation. Father, I come to you this evening. And you see the need, and you know the word that needs to come, and the work that it needs to do. And it says that your word go forth out of your mouth, and it will not return to you void, but it will accomplish that which you have sent it out to do. Father, I know that you expect a harvest at the end of the year. We are anticipating. Father, we are looking forward to that harvest, that we might participate as well as be a recipient of it. So, Father, we are asking tonight for your blood to be upon my mind, upon my emotions, upon my desires. Let them be your mind, your desires, your emotions. And Father, I pray for the ears of the hearers, that they might hear the voice of the Spirit, that they might not hear the syntax of the syllables that are used in the enunciation of words, but they hear the life and the liberty that is in those words, and that you will speak to them individually and personally. So, Father, we just commit this evening unto you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want to take you back to the beginning. You know, I'm a builder. And when I run into trouble, I always go back to the foundation, because I want to make sure that I did everything right and that I can come up with a solution that will not only fix the problem, but it will fix it in such a way that it won't, you will never know that there was a problem.
Hallelujah.
You know, where I come from, a lot of builders, they try to cover up their problems. I figure if they hide it, nobody will know about it. But unfortunately, that doesn't always work. Hallelujah.
Amen.
At the end of the day, the problem is really very evident. Amen. Amen. And I want to go back to Genesis chapter 1. And I want to start with verse 1. I think that's the beginning, isn't it? Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, John, in the writing of his gospel, he took us back to the beginning. John chapter 1, verse 1. He took us back to the beginning. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And it says that darkness was upon the face. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let me get over here. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I want to ask you a question. Do you believe that God has no ending, no beginning? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. I still didn't hear you. Boy. Did you eat too much lunch? Now, I heard you while you were singing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, we are in agreement. God has no beginning. No, all of you say amen. Praise God. I like group participation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right, so we agree. God started over here from nowhere. He has no start. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Do you believe that God has an end? Are you sure? You positive? He has no end. So he has no beginning and he has no end. So we'll just call this no beginning and no end line. We'll call it God and we'll call it eternity.
Huh?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You sure of that now, right?
Yeah, very dumb.
Okay, who is Alpha? Nobody's answering me. Who is Alpha? Alpha is God. So what does Alpha mean? But you just told me that God has no beginning and he has no end. Now you're telling me he has a beginning. All right. Who is Omega? I'm confused. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What does Omega mean?
Omega 1.
It means what? So this God, who has no beginning, who has no end, now has a beginning and he has an end. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What is the beginning of? Huh? Okay. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, okay. If God is Alpha and he's Omega, that is in reference to a time frame. Hallelujah. So when you talk about the beginning of time, when you talk about the Alpha, you talk about the beginning of time. Hallelujah. So that stands to reason that when you talk about Omega, you are talking about the end of time. Hello. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, brethren, I don't know if it ever has occurred to you, but a God that is eternal has no need of time. So time was created for one reason. Time was created for a specific purpose. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That means that in God's mind, there was something that God wanted to do, and in the doing of it, God had to have an element that was called time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that would mean that that element of time was created for one reason alone. Hallelujah. Do you agree with me? Hallelujah. Because in the creation of time and the desire that was in God's heart, He was going to create an entity that was called man, and He was going to use the element of time to create the man, to produce the maturity in that man, and bring him to a position or a place of completion where he would no longer need time. Hallelujah. Well, now, if that is true, well, maybe I should. Do you agree with that? Maybe you don't know what you agree. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man." Hello? How was He going to make man? He was going to make man in His image and in His likeness. Now, brethren, I have been back and forth across the world in many different countries with many different languages, with many different Bibles. Hallelujah. And I found out one thing. They all say the same thing. As far as the beginning of time and God and man are concerned. Hallelujah. Time is created for one reason. That time frame is built in increments of time, and each increment of time, there is a dispensation of fullness. Hallelujah. So that means that the maturity of man, not individually but collectively, is growing in stature. Hello? Are you following me? Hallelujah.
Amen.
We had men like Enoch. Who set a benchmark. Hallelujah. For he sent a benchmark. You understand what a benchmark is? Yes, it's a standard. But it's more than a standard. A benchmark is something that is given in order that others might work to achieve to it. Hallelujah. And it is not out of sorts with God that He particularly brought a man to the fullness of a position of perfection without the actual manifestation of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And God did that for a reason. He did it on the basis that He wanted to demonstrate that man, in his position of relationship with Him, could achieve that which God had said man could achieve. Hallelujah. And He also, in doing that, sent a benchmark by which none of us can have an excuse not to achieve it. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Because, brethren, let me tell you something. When I stand before the throne of God and I am to be judged by God, guess who's going to be standing there next to God? Enoch. And when I say to God, it's too hard, it's too difficult, there's too many issues, God's going to look at me, and then he's going to look at Enoch, and then he's going to look at me. He won't have to say a word. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So there is a standard that was already set. By virtue of a man who the scripture said walked with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we need to look
at the
aspect of the environment that was existing at the time of Genesis 1:1. That particular phrase that is used. Hallelujah. If you want to interpret the Bible, you have to use the Bible to interpret it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Looking at Greek words, looking at Hebrew words, is all well and good. But for me, I need God's stamp of approval on an interpretation.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And in this one particular verse, he uses an interesting phrase to describe the condition. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And if you were to look into the words of the word structure or the definitions of the word, when it says that it was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, it gives the connotation of one standing on a premises looking down into an abyss.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. 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 Well, that in itself tells you of the hell-like conditions that were in existence at this particular time. Hallelujah. There is only one other place in the Bible that this exact phraseology is used. It is found in Jeremiah, the 4th chapter. Now, for the sake of time, I'm not going to go into Jeremiah 4. You can go back and read it. In fact, that should be your homework. Because you want to be sure that I'm telling you the truth. Hallelujah. But I don't want you just to take a scripture out of the context of the chapter. You have to read the whole chapter. Brethren, scripture in the chapter must correlate to the chapter as far as its definition is concerned. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, I believe it's the exact phraseology. And I have looked at different Bibles, and the phraseology that they use in Genesis chapter 1 in their language is the same phraseology that they use in Jeremiah 4. Hallelujah. But as you look into Jeremiah 4, you see And you begin to get the understanding that it is the chapter of rebellion. The children of God rebelling against God. Hallelujah. And I just want to read two verses out of that chapter, if I may. I said I wasn't going there, but the Holy Spirit is telling me to go. Because I think it's necessary for you to see it in black and white. Hallelujah. It goes through a number of descriptions concerning Israel. And not only Israel per se, but I believe it also talks about Jerusalem. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then down in verse 22. Now, brother, if you have an Amplified Bible, I suggest you read this verse 22 in Amplified Bible. Hallelujah. Because it's much more definitive and it is much more straightforward. Hallelujah. You know what? I like the Amplified sometimes because it does not pull any punches. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me get my. I want something put. Hallelujah. I'm not going to read it. I'm just getting a windbreak there. It says, my people is foolish. Verse 22. They have not known me. They are Scottish children. I would be interested to know how your Bible translates Scottish. Huh?
Fooling.
Well, the Amplified amplifies it. It doesn't call it fooling, it calls it stupid. Do you all understand the word stupid?
Huh?
When you do something that is the dumbest thing that you could ever do, and you know you should have never done it, but you do it anyway. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It says, Scottish children, they have none understanding. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, Proverbs tells us that in all of our getting, what are we supposed to get?
Understanding.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, you are a people who love education. You just love it. Some of you love it so much you just go to school all of your life. Hallelujah. You graduate with your master's and you go back to get another master's in another subject or something. I guess it is that you just want to be diversified. You just want to be diversified.
Huh?
But the problem is you never get out of school to diversify. You just keep going back to school. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's not the type of understanding the Bible is talking about. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What we are to understand of what is in the mind and the heart of God. What we are supposed to be expertise in is facilitating that desire. Making that hope a reality. Now, did you hear me? I'm talking about God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm not so presumptuous to tell you that I have the mind of God. But what I do know is what God wants concerning me and Him. Hallelujah. And God wants me to know Him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Not know about Him. There's a difference between knowing Him and knowing about Him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, somebody could tell me about Brother Jokes. I could meet Brother Jokes. And when I'm walking down the street, somebody talks to me about Brother Jokes. I can say, yes, I know the brother. That doesn't mean that I know the brother. Hallelujah. I cannot know the brother just by meeting him. I can know that he is a doctor. I can know that he is in university as a professor. I know that he is involved with hematology and all of these different things. All I know is about him. Hallelujah. I couldn't tell you what kind of food he likes. I could probably take a guess at it, but I can't tell you what is his favorite color. I can't tell you how, I wouldn't be able to tell you how he feels about his political, economical environment. I could not even tell you whether he would be a good friend or not. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So if in that natural arena, in our attitude and our behavior with God, hallelujah, is as shallow as that is, can we say that we know God? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do we know what makes God sad? Unhappy? Do we know what makes God laugh or feel joy? Do you think that God has an anticipation? Do you think that God can be excited? When you think about God, do you think about Him in that capacity? I really don't think we think that way too often. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But you know, God, I am created in the image of God. And I have within me the ability to become like God. God gave me the ability to laugh. God gave me the ability to cry. God gave me the ability to have compassion. God gave me the ability to be excited about something. So if I have all of those attributes, are not those attributes that are attributes in God? Are not those things that are important to God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, sometimes I think God is so human. Hallelujah.
Amen.
One of the indictments against the New Testament church, and one of the critical indictments against the
Christians,
is that we do not know Him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, it says that God, in the cool of the evening, in the beginning, used to come down and he would fellowship with Adam. Now, I want you just to make a mental picture. I don't think it was an ethereal experience. I believe that God had to give Adam something to relate to. Adam was a living soul. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And there had to be some discourse between him and God on a natural plane. And I can see God coming down into that garden arena and just walking and talking. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, I've noticed you when you have a friendship that you sometimes you'll put your arm around them. Sometimes you will hold their hand. Hallelujah. And you will sit there and converse. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Why would not God want you to have that type of relationship with him? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But our concept of God is not like that. Hallelujah. Our concept of God is something of a being that is somewhat in some way disconnected from us in a physical sense. Hallelujah. We are still quite denominational in our thinking as to who and what God is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Abraham had such a relationship with God. Hallelujah. That God called Abraham his friend. That's significant. Now, we are not told a whole lot about Abraham and his experience with God. But we are told enough about Abraham and some of those experiences that he had with God to be able to fill in the blanks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One day, when Abraham was there in his tent, God came down to have lunch with him. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? You know, God knew what Abraham was going to do. He knew that when someone showed at Abraham's door, that Abraham, being the proper host that he was, that he was going to invite him in, and that he was going to go and he was going to get the fatted calf. Hallelujah. And he was going to prepare that calf. Brethren, that's a big job. Huh? Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's a big job. We get a few short scriptures, a few short thoughts that are put down on paper, and it seems like it's a thing that is done very quickly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But he had to go get the calf.
Yes.
He had to slaughter the calf. He had to skin it. He had to gut it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Or he was having somebody do that. Hallelujah. And at the same time, somebody had to be building a fire. Hallelujah. And then he had to cut it up and prepare it. And all this time, God is sitting down with Abraham. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What do you think he was talking to Abraham about? Hallelujah. I think he was talking to Abraham about about God business.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I think Abraham had certain questions that he wanted to ask him. Relative to man and relative to the position or the place of the promise that was given to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe get delving into the mechanics of it and going in depth as far as all of that is concerned. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the whole time that he's talking to Abraham, hallelujah, something is building in Abraham. There's something of a life that is being imparted to Abraham. Abraham is drawing spiritual strength. Abraham's soul is expanding. Hallelujah. Like you take a sponge and you put it into water. Hallelujah. And as that water, as that sun soaks up that water, hallelujah, it gets bigger and it gets bigger and it gets bigger. Hallelujah. I think it was one of the experiences that Abraham had that gave him the ability to believe God when God said, Abraham, take your son Isaac and sacrifice him. Hallelujah. 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 That didn't happen overnight for Abraham. Hallelujah. That did not just transpire in a week with Abraham. Hallelujah. Abraham had to have a relationship with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then on top of that, as they finished their meal and they got up to go, God says with Abraham, walk with me. Do you think Abraham says, I don't have time? I got to tend to my field over here. I got to see what my shepherds are doing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, I've got some domestic problems here I've got to settle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And we begin to understand the relationship that God had with Abraham. Because God makes a unique, startling statement. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God asked Abraham, he says, should I not tell
Abraham
what I am about to do? Can I ask you a question? When was the last time that God asked you about his business? Is Abraham better than you?
Yeah. Abraham more
again. No. Abraham was flesh and blood man.
Abraham
had troubles. Abraham was responsible for Ishmael.
Abraham Ishmael.
And not only did he say that he should tell, but he was giving Abraham an opportunity to counsel him.
Yeah.
Oh my God!
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Amen.
He said, so he told him what he was about to do. And
Abraham
had the courage. Free adventure. There are 30 righteous. Will you still destroy the city? God listened. for 30's sake, I will not destroy the city. Turns to go about his business. Turn around, son. Turn around. Abraham. God? God turns around.
Yeah, I got this.
Free adventure. There are 20 righteous. God, listen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Is God listening to you? Do you expect God to respond to you in your situation, in your circumstances? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you do not have that relationship of closeness, of intimacy with a living God, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And then there was a man called Noah. No, let me go back. Let me go back. Let me go back to Enoch if I can. Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch was a human being just like you and me. He had desires, had aspirations, he had thoughts concerning his environment. He was a married man. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He had a wife. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh my, do you think that she was probably one of these saints? One of these perfect, virtuous women that is talked about in the scriptures? Hallelujah. She was human. And there was human conflicts, male and female. Hallelujah. Enoch had to deal with them. His wife had to deal with them. Enoch had children. Oh boy. Gray hair. That's what children give you. Gray hair. Hallelujah. I have 7 children. And I have 21 grandchildren. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And every one of them has a problem. Every one of them has an intensity or a intensity of their problem. And every problem that they had creates problems for everybody else. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he lived in a community with people. He had to provide a house. He had to provide clothes. He had to provide food. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He had to deal with the community. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Maybe he had an irritating neighbor. Hallelujah. That was always playing their music too loud. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He was a human being in human circumstances. Hallelujah. And brethren, you know as well as I do, husbands and wives relationships can be pretty rough. They can be very trying. Because a wife will push a husband beyond his ability to cope. And a husband will push his wife beyond the ability of her able to cope. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It took Enoch walking with God. Hallelujah. I don't believe there was ever in a time that he told God he couldn't make the appointment. I think that Enoch arranged his schedule around God. Hallelujah. You cannot say that about you and I. We are moonlighters. You know what moonlighter is? Huh? We have that expression in the States. You have a job, brother. That's your main source of income. Hallelujah. But you're not making enough money. So you go down here to the 7-Eleven and you get a job waiting on the counter. Hallelujah. And you work, after you get off work, you go there. And you work for 3 or 4 or 5 hours. And then you go home. Hallelujah. You are moonlighting. You're moonlighting. Hallelujah. You're working in the light of the moon. Hallelujah. And that's the way we are with Christianity. That's really the way that we are with our relationship with God. And if your relationship or my relationship is on that level with God, I will never, never, ever qualify. Hallelujah. I will never qualify for that sonship company. Hallelujah. I have to have a walking, talking, living relationship with a living God. Hallelujah. 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 Now there was a man called Noah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Who found favor with God. You know, the Bible says that if we draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh to us. If we do not draw nigh to God, is God going to draw nigh to us? Hallelujah. So you can turn it around, read it in the converse. If I do not draw nigh to God, God will not draw nigh to me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So I think it's safe to believe that in the fact that he says that Noah found favor, that there was an interaction between Noah and God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, same set of circumstances as a family, as a community, as a wife and responsibility, all the mechanics of living, no difference, no blood, no Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, I don't know if you ever thought of the complexity of the thing that Noah built. It was 100 cubits long. Hallelujah. It was 300 cubits long. 300 cubits. 100 cubits wide. Hallelujah. And it was 50 cubits high. That's almost as big as your city block. Hello. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Brother Uko, God bless you.
Amen.
Good to see you.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You're looking for something from God.
Amen.
You are looking for something with God. The Bible says, brother, if you knock, it shall be opened. If you seek, you shall find. If you ask, it shall be given. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You have to knock. You have to seek. You have to find. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And find it you will.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't know. Maybe he went to the Institute for Art Building. Huh? Maybe he went for 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 years. Got the education he needed to do in order to know how to mechanically build that boat. Well, I have a problem with, when did he preach? Because he says the whole time he's building the boat, he's out there preaching. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can you imagine the mechanics? It says that there must have been at least a conservative estimate, maybe 1,500 or 2,000 different types of animals in that boat. Huh? How would you feed that many? 8 people. How would you clean up after them? 8 people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right, the boat was pitched inside and outside. So the boat was not only waterproof, it was airtight. How did he ventilate it? They were in there for a long time. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Brethren, God must have been walking and talking with Noah every day, giving him the engineering capability to put this boat together. Hallelujah. I am not an engineer, but I know that you take a boat that's made out of wood that is 100 cubits wide. That's probably 2.5 times, or maybe 3 times, the size of this room. Hallelujah. And you put it on an unstable surface where it does not have full contact the whole time that it is upon that surface. The weight of the boat will cause it to snap. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And when he built that boat, he built it for storm conditions. Because the waves and things would be coming in and crashing. Hallelujah. And that boat would be going like this. Where the part of it would be up out of the water and part of it in the water. It would have to be engineered in such a way that it would be able to take the stress of the timber that is upon it. Not to snap. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, Noah was called for a particular reason. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He was one of the examples that God put in the time frame. Hallelujah. That he gave for man to become like him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, we don't have the time frame that Noah had. But we have something far greater than that which Noah had. Number one, we have the blood of Jesus Christ. Number two, we have the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the blood of Jesus Christ is given to you that you might be born again. That you might become a living soul. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because it is a living soul that is needed in order for you to be able to fellowship with God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God stretched the rules with Noah. Hallelujah. But he put Noah in there as another benchmark for you and I. Because what Noah was called to do and building this ark that would save humanity, God is now calling you that you might become part of that ark that God is building in this hour and in this time. Hallelujah. Because just as destruction was coming on the earth, hallelujah, when God said to Noah, get thee and thy family into the ark. Hallelujah. Because he said, and 7 days, hallelujah, I will cause that destruction to come. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And as his family and them rushed into the boat, hallelujah, it says that God closed and sealed the door. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We have been given a message. And that message is a message that is designated within the time frame that has been given to man. Hallelujah. To accomplish that which God had determined from the beginning. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? If he is Alpha, then he is Omega. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That means that God knew when he made the world that time frame of what we now call time would come to an end, and the world as we know it now will cease to exist.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you hear me? Hallelujah.
Amen.
You are all supposed to be candidates. You are all eligible to go to the Noah School of Ark Building. Hallelujah. You have been called not to build a church, not to be prosperous in your businesses, not to be a popular individual, not to be the best mom and dad or the best husband or wife, hallelujah, that qualifies you for the year award for that capacity. You have been called to save humanity. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Bible says in the Gospels, and it reiterates it two or three times, that I am supposed to love God. I'm supposed to love Him with all my heart. With all my might. With all my strength. With all my substance. The Bible says that that is the type of love that I am supposed to demonstrate toward this entity that we call God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I do not think there's anyone that I am aware of, hallelujah, that is living up to that standard. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now you're going to tell me that it is impossible. Yes. It is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God would not call you to a position. God would not call you to a place of life and living. Hallelujah. That He would not give you the accoutrements, the equipment, by which you might not only produce, but that you might mature and grow, and that you come to that standard of perfection that He is requiring. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Well, you know, I got this a little, I should turn this around just a bit. Hallelujah. Because I am to walk in time, into God, out of time. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh my God. Brethren, do you know what you are in God? I think we sing a song. Isn't there a song that says, do you know who you are? Yes. There's a song we sing about that. Hallelujah. You have eternity inside of you. You're sitting there, a physical man, but inside of you, you have eternity. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Would you call heaven eternity? Huh? Would you call heaven eternity? Eternity heaven? Huh? You think the words are interchangeable? Hallelujah. Bible says that you have heaven inside of you. I think somebody said the scripture this morning. Lo, don't say that Christ is here, or heaven is there, or heaven is there. Huh? Wasn't that you used that this morning? Hallelujah. I'm sorry? What was that? The kingdom of God is within you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So why do we act like we're still in the kingdom of humanity?
Yeah.
There's a dichotomy. Don't you understand? There is a dichotomy between what we say we believe and how it is that we are moving and acting and doing. There's a dichotomy. Hallelujah. It's a dichotomy on which organizations build denominations. Hello. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Organizations and denominations do not feel that you can be perfect. Hallelujah. They believe that perfection is not something that you can obtain now. Hallelujah. They don't believe in the reality of Jesus Christ walking and talking in an individual in the midst of humanity. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And we are supposed to be a living representation of the walking, talking Word of God. There's a dichotomy. Hallelujah. And there's something wrong with my gospel. Hallelujah. I have a responsibility to examine my gospel. I have a responsibility to find and touch the hem of God's garment that my gospel might be corrected and purified. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, I came out of the church a long time ago. I received this message 38, 39, maybe 40 years ago. And it brought me out of church. And I grew up cutting my teeth. Hello? My spiritual teeth, my spiritual growth and development. I grew up on this word right here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I know that I know the positions and the place of church and the intents that people have and that they are good. Hallelujah. But there was something that I did not know. I did not know of the darkness that was inside of me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I did not understand how that darkness could manipulate my mind. Manipulate my emotions. Hallelujah. And the things that I wanted to do that were good things. Hallelujah. And because I have the desire to do them. Hallelujah. And nobody else would do them. I begin to do them. Hello? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Does that sound familiar? Maybe not. Huh? Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, I don't believe in pastors. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Pastor's position is a deception that comes right out of hell.
Now,
I'm not calling men who are pastors demons. I'm not calling them demons. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They are ensnared. They are trapped. They are brought into a subjugation of a darkness that is within inside of them. Hello. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Back in the third chapter of Genesis. Hallelujah.
Amen.
As God was walking and talking with Adam, Eve was over there somewhere in the garden talking to the devil. Now, do you think that God didn't know that the devil was talking to Eve? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, the soul of Eve. Hallelujah. And if, brethren, listen to me. Eve is a type and a shadow of the church. And the susceptibility that the church has to deception. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Come on. You're looking at me funny now. You ladies are going to all be mad at me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I have heard many different renditions of it, but I want to touch on is how Eve was programmed to accept darkness. Hallelujah. And in the actions that she precipitated with those things, set the course of humanity on a downward spiral. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, you have to keep in mind, of course, that the Bible tells us in Revelation that the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the earth. Hallelujah. So God, being the being that He is, the Alpha, the Omega, hallelujah,
amen,
had already provided a means by which humanity could be delivered. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, lest we get a bad idea of Eve, I want to read you a verse in Romans, and it's found, hallelujah,
amen,
it's found in Romans, the 8th chapter, and it says in verse 20, for the creature, that's creation, was made subject to vanity, not willingly. Hello? Hallelujah. But by reason of Him, hallelujah,
amen,
that Him is God, who subjected the same, hallelujah, it, the same in hope. Hello? God had a hope. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, Eve was listening to this devil, and there are some very specific things that the devil said to Eve. Now, brethren, you have to understand, we're not talking about just words. We're talking about the ability or the entity to be able to produce or to create something by what? Hallelujah. By what is spoken. Hallelujah. Now, do you think that when God said, God actually said something? I would ask you, what language did He speak in? Hallelujah. No, when it says God spoke, it means something issued out of God, an energy, a source of being energized out of God and moved into an environment, and it created something. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I can put it on a much simpler term if you wish. When you received Jesus Christ, was it the words that saved you? Or was it something in the words that when somebody spoke to you, it quickened something in here? Hallelujah.
Amen.
So whether it was in Spanish, Hebrew, Greek, German, English, hallelujah. Makes a little difference because it is the spirit of the thing that is in the word that produced a response in you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, we have the negative side of that with Eve. The devil comes to Eve. Hallelujah. And she says to to Eve, the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Hallelujah. Ye shall not surely die. Hallelujah. Oh boy. I don't know if you understand a whole lot about computer programming. I don't understand too much about it, but those of you who do, you write a program and you have to enter it into a computer, right? Hallelujah. I mean, you actually program that computer somehow, some way, to respond to that programming that is in there. Hallelujah. And if you don't put that programming in there, and sometimes the computer will reject the programming, I understand. So you have to finagle it and to work with it to get the computer to accept the programming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Eve was a living soul. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Which means not only was she a living soul, but she had very little programming as far as her soul is concerned. Hello? So her soul was spiritually alive. So the devil comes knowing the principles of this energy and this ability, or the compatibility that she has with God. Hallelujah. Has to get that computer in her to receive a negative programming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he begins to talk to Eve. And he says to Eve, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What he did was to enter a programming that she was invincible and that she had the power to live. She had the power to live. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And not only did he want to program her in that programming, but he wanted her to accept a spirit of self-preservation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They say that in the human race, they call it the instinct of self-preservation is one of the strongest spirits that human beings can have. Hallelujah. They will kill each other to keep each other alive, keep themselves alive. They will do all sort of despicable things to keep themselves in a position of preeminence above somebody else. Hallelujah. We get the spirit of competition that comes out of the spirit of self-preservation. Hallelujah. 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 So, the devil was programming Eve with a certain train of thinking. Hallelujah. And then he says, hallelujah. Not only that, but he was calling God a liar. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He was calling God a liar. Boy. I'm not going to go into it, but my goodness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For God doth know that in the day you eat it, then your eyes shall be opened. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And ye shall be as God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We all think that we're all programmed negatively as God. Hallelujah. Now, here is the clincher. Hallelujah. Verse 6. And when the woman saw that the fruit tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof, and she did eat. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When she ate, and she gave to her husband to eat. Hallelujah. And he ate. Humanity was programmed for darkness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I could just as well say that the totality and the epitome of darkness moved into the soul of man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it is this darkness now that you and I have to contend with. Huh? Hallelujah.
Amen.
I think I'm losing you. I think I'm losing you.
No.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, I just don't know if you have the spiritual strength. Oh, boy. Because we're getting down to the nitty-gritty. You know, we talk about darkness, but in our thinking, it's abstract. We can say that over there is darkness, maybe, and that the darkness. But what really, 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 really is darkness? I have to know what that darkness is. Paul says that he is one that does not just beat the air. He has to know the reality of that darkness. Hallelujah. And I thank God, God wants us to know what kind of darkness that we are having to deal with. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The story of Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 begins to give us some understanding of the quality and the quantity of that darkness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, Brother Jojoki was telling us That what, the battle, the major battlefield that we have to fight on is the battlefield of our minds. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Your mind is programmed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Does that look familiar to anybody, that symbol? Huh? It's an occult, yes. It's the goat. Huh? But when I was growing up, I grew up in the hippie movement. Huh? This was one of their symbols. Peace, brother, peace. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But it's a sign of a broken cross. But nevertheless, out of your country. Now remember, this is the mind.
Huh?
This is how your mind is programmed. Out of your country. That country equals darkness, right? You're not saying amen. You're not going to like this at all. Oh my goodness. Out. Huh? Out of thy kindred. I could say tribe. Huh? We're still talking about the mind. The programming of the mind. Huh? Out of thy father's house. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right. I'll just draw this like this. Huh? Now, I'm not picking on you. I just happen to be in Nigeria right now. I have my own darkness. I have my own darkness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, what I suggest is you take this, draw it on a piece of paper, and then you out here list the aspects or the attributes of what it means as far as country to you as a Nigerian. And then you come over here and you make a list. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Make a list. I'm telling you what you have to fight. Hallelujah. You make a list of all the attributes. Hello? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it will give you the understanding of what it is that you need to pray about, what it is you need to fast and pray, what you need to be delivered from, what you need to have this relationship with a living God for. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But knowing that isn't enough, because we have to replace this with something else. This is the mind. Hallelujah. This is the mind of darkness. Hallelujah. Now, I want to tell you something else. Without your mind, the devil cannot manipulate the darkness. Darkness is a creative element. It's an element that has the ability to create a negative thing. I suppose in some way or another you could call it negative energy. I'm not a physicist, so I don't know if there's such a thing as negative energy, but I think there is. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The devil cannot do that. He was not created with the capacity to do it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The devil does not have the ability to create. You understand? Hallelujah. We know it says that the angels neither marry or are given in marriage. Hallelujah. That means they have no ability to procreate themselves. They are limited by the fact of how God created them in the beginning. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the Bible makes it very plain. Everything must bring forth after its own kind. Hallelujah. So the devil is outside. Huh? The devil is outside. He's outside. Hallelujah. Devil is outside. He's not inside. He's outside. The devil has, not only can he not procreate. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
What was it I was going to say? He's outside. He's not inside. Okay, thank you. The only way that the devil can get at you is from going from the outside in. Hallelujah. So it was necessary for the devil to get you to fall. So that you would have an ability to be in touch with the world around you. Hallelujah. The devil cannot come to you through your soul. The devil has to come through you through your body. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The soul is supposed to be married to God. Hallelujah. Husband, wife. When man fell, there was a separation between God and man. Separation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the devil was given license in Genesis chapter 3, verse 20-something, hallelujah, was given license to feed off of your body. Okay, let's read it. We read it this morning, but let's read it again. Hallelujah. Let's read it again. Chapter 3, verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done thou art cursed above every cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Hello. Hallelujah. 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 The reason that in the Old Testament that God called Israel a harlot and an adulteress, because it had formed a league between the marriage between the world and the body to infect the soul. Hallelujah. 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 You have five senses that are avenues. You have smell. Huh? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Brethren, look at what they're calling perfumes in cologne these days. Look at the names that they are putting on them. I was walking through an airport and they had this cardboard of a woman holding a large perfume bottle that covered her from her knees to her shoulders, and you could tell, you couldn't see arms and legs, but you could tell she was not clothed. Hello? The perfume's name was Naked. Now why would a woman wear that? Why would a woman wear that? Okay, women, I'll leave you alone. Men. They're just as bad. They're just as bad. There's a cologne that is called Possessed. Obsession. Obsession. Oh, come on. Hello? Why would I want to wear that? I believe in being sanitary and clean, and I believe in and smelling nice.
Huh?
But am I going to buy a perfume that has a spirit that is attached to it? Hallelujah. That when I put it on me, that spirit hovers around me and is absorbed by my skin? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You need to make it like a broken cross. This way.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So I have this avenue. I have this avenue that is ministering to my soul.
Huh?
Hallelujah. I have the sense of taste. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My goodness. You know, we like sweet things, don't we? The things that taste sweet. Hallelujah. Oh boy. We have the sense of touch. I won't go into that one, it's self-explanatory. We have the sight. Huh? Okay, smell, taste, touch, sight. What? I'm missing one. Hearing. Hearing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hearing. Hallelujah. You know that hearing always brings up the subject of music. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Music is one of the devil's top tools to use against the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was looking at the news the other day, And they flashed onto an advertisement of a church that was promoting something. I could not believe my ears. I could not believe my eyes. You know, when I was a young man, I was going to rock concerts. Concerts like, oh boy, I even forget their names now. Huh? What's that? The Rolling Stones. They were my generation. Hallelujah. Our Kiss, KISS. In Satan's service or something like. Kings in Satan's service. Hallelujah. You know they have the demon on it. Yeah. That was my music. That's what I grew up in. Hallelujah. I could not believe my eyes. When I saw that on the TV, I heard it with my ears. The beat, the rhythm, the guitar, the drums, everything crescendoing out of control. Hallelujah. And the actions of the singers. I had a flashback. I was back there when Rolling Stones was up there and this guy was doing his grotesque, obscene, demonic behavior. Hello? And the only difference is every now and then I heard Jesus, God, Jesus, God. Hallelujah. You know, I know I have been privy. I have been in meetings when the Holy Spirit has come down and the man playing the piano gets lost in God and the music begins to move your soul in such a way it makes you begin to yearn for the presence of God. It makes your heart begin to cry out to God. You don't have to tell somebody to raise your hands because your hands are automatically going up and reaching out, trying to touch the hem of his garment. Hallelujah. It doesn't leave you in a confused state. What it leaves you in is with a dissatisfaction with the fact of what it is that we have and what it is that we are doing. Hallelujah. 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 You people that are involved in music. Hallelujah. You need to be fasting and praying. You need to be fasting from worldly music. Hallelujah. You need to be fasting from those things that contaminate your music. Hallelujah. It says that they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, I can tell the difference when somebody plays the piano, whether they're playing mechanically, or whether they're playing by note, or whether they are being gently swayed by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The music comes like a cool breeze on a hot day that comes as refreshing, comes so gentle, so easy, just envelopes you in it, in its refreshing, refreshingness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are, brethren, so entangled. Hallelujah. We are so contaminated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God called Israel an adulterer because it entered into a marriage relationship with the world. Hallelujah. And we carry that relationship over when we are born again. Hallelujah. God comes into our soul. Now just imagine this is your soul. God comes into your soul and he imparts a tiny little seed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Against all possible odds. Impossible odds. Hallelujah. You know do you have any idea what the ratio of my being saved would be? Hallelujah. With my family lineage on top of me. Hallelujah. I have murders. I have adulterers. I have homosexuals. I have all kinds of ancestors. Hallelujah. And we come down to the end of the day. Come down to the end of the age. And I am born. And I'm born under all of this contaminant. Hallelujah. And the devil has got me so deep and so buried, he figures there's absolutely no hope. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That God would ever notice me. And if God ever noticed me, I'd ever have the strength to get out of it. Hallelujah. But in spite of all of those odds, hallelujah, there was a spark that ignited something within my soul. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I have been beginning to climb my way out of that quagmire. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we are programmed. This is what I come into God with. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God said. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God said. Hallelujah. That I need to have the mind of Christ. I need the mind of Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We will call this kingdom of God. Kingdom of light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I become born again. John chapter 3. Hallelujah. Says a man must be born again to see the kingdom of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Did you hear me? It says to see. See is not entering. Hallelujah. It says, I must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Hallelujah. To enter into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God has just translated me out of my country. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Out of my darkness, and he has translated me into a different kingdom. I want to ask you a question. Which one of those is the real thing? Which one of those is the, which kingdom is the real thing? I'm glad you said that. Huh? Do you really believe that? What are you going to do about this one? What are you going to do about that one? Actions speak louder than words. Actions speak louder than words. God does not want actions. God does not want words. God wants action. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we have to come out of our country. Hallelujah. What about this one? Huh? I have a new country. What do I have here? Well, let's say tribe.
Okay,
new tribe. New tribe.
Amen.
Hello? You are of the tribe of Judah. Now, which one of these is the real one? Huh? Which one is the real one? What is my responsibility now?
Huh?
Hello. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Come out of my father's house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Come out of my father's house. I have now called the household of faith. That's a Bible. That's a scripture, by the way, you know. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So now, who is my brother? Who is my real brother? Who is my real father? Who is my real mother? Hello, are you there?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Come on. If my Christian brother calls me, and my natural brother calls me, and both of them have emergencies that need immediate attention, which one am I going to jettison? Huh? If your father calls you and tells you to come, this father, and he tells you you have to be at a certain place at a certain time, but your other father has already set an appointment for you, what are you going to do? Actions speak louder than words. This is our darkness. Now you are culpable. Responsible. You cannot say you do not know. God is revealing the man of sin. Did you hear me? God is revealing the man of sin. It's not the devil. It's not his demons and all of his little hordes of demonic beings. It's the darkness that is inside of me. Brethren, This is the nature of perdition. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I have one verse that I want to read to you, I think, and I'm going to close. Turn with me. I have to find it. Turn with me to Hebrews 10. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Keeping in mind what God is saying about what it is that we have to do, keeping in mind that this is the process by which He eliminates this and gives us this. Hallelujah. A man starts. Green is life. A man starts, goes through the brazen altar, brazen laver, into the Holy of Holies, candlestick, table of showbread, into the Ark of the Covenant, on into eternity. Huh? This is the process. This is the process by which this is changed to this.
Amen.
Hallelujah. With that in mind, I want to read you I'm going to restart at chapter 10, verse 37. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now, the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Hallelujah. We have one more verse, but I want to say that is talking about the actuality of these instruments of change, working the change within our natures to make us good citizens of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And just as a side note, brethren, every kingdom has a language. When you are baptized by the Holy Spirit, you are given a tongue that is contrary to your national tongue. Hallelujah. And that tongue, whenever used by God, can be interpreted by any language. So that means that Brother Ezekiel could be in Germany and he began to speak in tongues, and a German could get up speaking in German and translate the tongue that Brother Ezekiel is speaking in. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is the language that identifies you as to the country that you belong to. Hallelujah. As well as the tribe. Hallelujah. So, we go, we, He says, if any of us turn back at any of these stations, and that includes this golden altar of incense, it says that God will have no pleasure with us. Hallelujah. So when you read in the scripture that says having a form of godliness, hallelujah, but denying the power of it, does it say some such turn away, or does it say that? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Turn away. That means if this gospel and the revelation you have is not producing this, hallelujah, it is a gospel that you have a gospel, but you are working against the power of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, with that being said, it says, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. Hallelujah. It means that as we begin to make our journey out of this condition, and we begin to make our journey into this position, into this place, hallelujah, into here, and if we turn back, is it self-definitive? Is it defined? If we did you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay. If we make our journey and we're on the path and we turn around and we begin to compromise, we are not just not changing, we are now going toward the negative, and we are becoming a perditious spirit.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. One more verse, I promise you. One more verse. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want to show you the scriptural definition of this soul. Hebrews. I'm going to start at the sixth chapter, and I want to read a couple of verses to give you the context. Hallelujah. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. This is perfection.
Amen.
That is perfection.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now the context is perfection. You understand? Context is perfection. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Not laying again the foundations of repentance from dead works. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Of faith toward God, of doctrines of baptism. Hallelujah. and resurrection from the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. Now listen, for it is impossible. Now when the Bible tells you that it's impossible, that means it's impossible. Hallelujah.
Amen.
For those who were once enlightened, holy place, huh? Who were once enlightened, holy place, have tasted of the heavenly gift, hallelujah,
Amen.
Were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted of the good word of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When it talks about the good word of God, brethren, it's talking about the entirety of the plan of God that God has for man. Hallelujah. And the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away.
Yeah.
Huh? Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is, if they should fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they have crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open
shame.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You have a lot to chew on. God bless you.
Amen.